This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha.
In an in-person shopping experience, like a lot of plus-size folks, the only option to find something that you like and that might fit is online. Not just something that fits, but something that makes you feel good.
From style-forward folks to those who couldn't care less about what they wear, everyone needs clothes. But the fashion industry hasn't done a very good job of prioritizing bodies of all shapes and sizes. That leaves a whole lot of people, regardless of sartorial tastes, without many choices. It also affects the experience of finding clothing, which is a basic need, with impacts that hit the psyche and the pocketbook. Ethical Bodies and The Goodish, a new plus-size vintage thrift store in South City, St. Louis, is working to change that. And here to talk with us about it are two of its four co-owners. Mara Hampton, founder of Ethical Bodies. Welcome. We also have Erica Hallman, founder of The Goodish. Welcome to you too. And thank you for being with us today. We also want to invite you to the conversation. What have your experiences been around size inclusivity or exclusivity, perhaps more to the point? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. So let's get to the start of Ethical Bodies and Goodish. They now live under one roof, but a physical store was not the origin story with either of these outfits. So how is it, Mara, that Ethical Bodies came to be?
So Elaine, Ethical Bodies started in 2019. I had a friend who started a shop on Instagram, and that kind of inspired me because I've always loved thrifting. But anytime I wore thrifted outfits, a lot of other friends who were in plus size bodies felt like they always said that they could never find anything. So I always had a little stockpile of things that someone needed, and I just decided to kind of take that leap and started selling on Instagram. And then it's really kind of grown, started, you know, doing vendor markets, and then it's grown to our space now.
Yeah. So Erica, when it comes to The Goodish, how much of The Goodish's story is parallel to that of Ethical Bodies?
Yeah, I would say in some ways it's very much parallel. I, too, have been somebody that has been thrifting since I was, you know, a teenager. And Mara and I both being people who are like, somebody needs this is definitely a common theme. But then I think it, we also we started doing vendor markets, which is how we met. But we, our brands in some ways are very complementary and but very different. And the Goodish is very much centered around unisex, vintage, fashion, and styling. And we have a very queer-centered lens in what we're looking at. And I would say Mara's brand is generally a little bit more femme, which makes us a really good complement as a store, I think.
Mm-hmm. So did either of you have any experience in retail or fashion sort of formally before this, Mara?
So I did retail when I was younger, but I also dabbled in the fashion blogging scene for a little while, and that's kind of how I met my counterpart, Trisha. And, you know, we really hit it off, but yeah, that was it. And I just always had a love for fashion as a child, and it stayed with me.
Mm-hmm. Where did that come from?
Honestly, I don't know. I've always loved to shop. I don't know if that was just from shopping with my mom and my grandma, but even when I couldn't find things that fit me due to, you know, things not coming to my size when I was a 10-year-old, I was finding shoes, accessories. I always found something to put on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And fashion has been a almost lifelong interest for you, too.
Absolutely. There's so many pictures of me from when I was very young, like styling with my friends, really playing dress up, wearing things that were really sometimes outrageous. But my mom said that I've been dressing myself since I was like Around two or three, she said sometimes it wouldn't work, but most of the time she'd be surprised and it came together. And I think it's also partially comes from her love of fashion because my mom was a model in New York in the 70s.
Oh, okay. So it is in your bloodline,
yeah.
as they
I
say.
I could get away from it if I wanted to.
Okay. So, I mean, you're both founders of your individual sort of online stores, but there were two others.
Absolutely.
Respectively, right, who got involved so that it is a fashionable foursome with you all. So
I love that.
Erica, tell me about your partner in The Goodish and how that came together.
Yeah, so Kay is both my partner in our business as well as my life partner, I guess you would say. And we started dating in near the end of 2021. Mm-hmm. I started The Goodish in maybe 2018 or so and started doing pop-up markets. And then they did a pop-up market with me one time, and they just loved it. They had so much fun, like meeting people, the fashion, sort of every element of it. And then kind of from that point on, we just did it together, and it became something that we like grew and centered around both of our styles from that point on.
Mm-hmm. And then in your case, Mara, how is it that you came to find Trisha? Did Trisha find you?
We found each other. So we actually found each other at a blogger event, and we kind of like were like, I see you. I love your outfit. We need to be friends.
Okay.
And we immediately, we just became fast friends, and which is really special because adult friendships can be hard to make.
So hard.
And it was having a friend that was also in a plus size body. And so Trisha, you know, the second I started doing vendor markets, I realized I needed a little bit of help. And so she came on and started doing them with me, and kind of similar as Kay, she was like, oh my God, this is so fun. It's amazing connecting with people. Her love of fashion, it perfectly intertwined with what I was doing. So.
Right. So fashion, clearly, it's not limited to an individual experience. There
Absolutely.
Is, you know, community is really part of it. And so before collaborating on the store, the four of you, Erica, Kay, Trisha, Mara, you had worked on another project that celebrates size inclusivity called Big Body Bash. How was it that that event came together, Erica?
Yeah, so actually, I had seen Mara and Trisha around at other events, and I think the very first event that Trisha did with Mara was when we had first connected. And then probably a year or so later, I'd have been brewing on this idea. I'd been telling Kay about it like maybe the night before. And then I walked into Mudhouse one day and I saw the two of them sitting there. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys have been wanting to talk to you. I want to have this event that's all about just like only vendors that cater exclusively to plus sizes. And they were like, oh my gosh, we've been wanting to do that too. So then that was, I think, in May of last year. And we worked from May until October to make Big Body Bash happen, which was just an incredible event.
So how is it that that event eventually led to, in pretty short order, the creation of the store, Mara?
So the event was amazing. It was something that, I don't know, you invite people and you don't know what to expect, and so many people came out. It really surpassed our wildest dream. So that really got our wheels turning, and I was always kind of just browsing for space. I had also participated in a contest for 6 months of free rent. I didn't win, and that's okay, but that also kind of ignited that fire for me. Mm-hmm. So I found a space, and I kind of peeked in the window, and it was really large, and I sent Erica a text and was like, okay, so what if we split the rent? Uh-huh. We have both of our shops in there. And then she's like, yeah, okay, let's do
right.
it. And I mean, it was fast work after that. That was in December.
Mm-hmm.
We signed a lease in February, and then we opened in March.
Right. So the store then that launched in March was grand opening. Take us back to that day and how it really demonstrated why a physical space was necessary, Erica.
Oh my gosh. Our grand opening was just incredible. It was so well attended. We probably could have had 6 dressing rooms because we had a super long line for the dressing rooms, even at the cash register. But I think all of that excitement is just kind of demonstrates the demand that there is for vintage, for fashion, for people in larger bodies. And our store carries sizes large and up, but I find often even people who are, you know, considered standard size in the fashion industry have a hard time finding things in the vintage market. So I think that just outpouring of love and of people showing up was incredible to see and know, you know, that we're getting to be a part of this space to provide for folks exactly what we've been missing.
And mm-hmm. in-person shopping experience. Like a lot of plus size folks, the only option to find something that you like and that might fit is online. So being able to provide that in-person experience that really doesn't exist, especially in the vintage scene here, was so special.
Right. We're going to take a very quick break here. In the meantime, if you have a question or comment about plus size fashion and size diversity, give us a call. We're at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. We will be right back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Mara Hampton and Erica Hallman, 2 of 4 co-owners of Ethical Bodies and The Goodish. That's a new plus-size vintage thrift store in South St. Louis. We're talking about size inclusivity, often exclusivity, and what it is to experience shopping for plus-size clothing. Now, before the break, we had touched on what the opening reception for your store was. And you'd mentioned, Erica, sort of the lack of consideration in sizing for people in bigger bodies. You said you carry large and up. How does the store directly address what is missing in basically most other places?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that we thought of, we're thinking about from the very beginning when we started talking about a store, were things in our layout and in our physical space even that would make that space accommodating and that made it feel fat friendly, made it feel friendly for everybody. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is we have a really big couch in there that can sit all 4 of us comfortably. Uh-huh. So I think that's something that feels basic, but I think having a comfortable place to be able to sit when you're shopping and right. understanding that sometimes with a bigger body, you also are going to be suffering from pain, mobility issues, other things going on. Making sure that there's a space for people to rest. And we thought about the same thing with our dressing rooms as well. Mm-hmm. Actually, originally, the way we had it laid out, we knew we wanted it to be really big so that you could be a person in a big body, completely spread out, arms out to the sides above mm-hmm. your head, mm-hmm. without any fear or having the experience that most of us have in a regular dressing room of just feeling cramped in. So we have a very large dressing room, and then we also have a fan in there because we all a lot of us have the experience of getting very warm when you're trying clothes on, and
you just get
so hot, you need something to cool down.
Well, and as we are heading into, getting closer to the dog days of summer here in very muggy St. Louis, that's going to be helpful. Mara, was there anything that you observed, whether it's that opening day or since you opened, where people are clearly appreciating all of these considerations that you've made for this store?
Absolutely. Every day, honestly, it's an honor to get to do what we are doing. It's a very pinch me moment every time we're in the shop. But a specific story that kind of stands out to me is really everyone who's come through has thanked us, which is like, I don't know, kind of crazy. Like we're just getting to play with clothes and like get to style folks. But that's, I don't know. I think it goes back to the community piece that it's so needed. But there was a woman who came in with her daughter and she had said that she had recently gained some weight and, you know, was just having a hard time feeling comfortable in her body and finding things that felt exciting and cute. And we, all four of us, picked outfits for her because she had graduations to go to. It was around Mother's Day graduation time. And by the end, it was a full fashion show. She was so excited. She found two things that she really loved, one more casual, one fancy. And at the end, she said, "I hope you guys know that you're changing lives." And then we all cried.
Yeah,
and
we all were like,
"Oh my God!" Like, it doesn't feel like that, you know. But it, I don't know. It's kind of wild that that's what's happening. People need that sense of community. Everyone deserves to feel good and excited about the clothing they put on. It is a very basic need.
Yeah,
Not just something that fits, but something that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm. And we got an email from a, quote, a cool person in a big body who says, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's three thank yous there. And thank you to whoever it was who sent that note to us. Tears should not be part of a shopping experience. At least not. I mean, if it's a good one, there are good tears.
Yeah. We're lucky that a lot of times it's happy tears, but I think that is a flip for so many people in a big body where, unfortunately, too much of the time, you can, even if you don't cry in the store because it's all skinny people in there and you feel ashamed, like, you can end up in the car and being, like, crying.
Right. Not to mention the frustration that comes with not being able to find something that you both need and want. Inclusivity is also something more than size. And Erica, you kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. We're in St. Louis. Yeah. This is a diverse place. And so when it comes to, you know, race, ethnicity, gender identity, sexuality, all of that, that all is also very relevant. And, you know, there are many trends that we see today, we've seen in the past, that have been popularized by people who are in often overlooked or marginalized communities. So how is it that Ethical Bodies and the Goodish is sort of embracing inclusivity sort of in that, with that scope?
Yeah. I always think about this from a framework like body positivity and size inclusivity is connected to everything else, like in the same ways that white supremacy and all of these other systems function in multiple ways to oppress people of intersectional identities. Our work, it needs to be intersectional to fight in exactly the opposite way, to include people. Most people in fashion, most of the trends you see in fashion throughout history have started with Black people, queer people, Indigenous people, people of color, and from a variety of marginalized identities. And for us, it's really about bringing folks that have been pushed out to the center, because that's really where arts and culture starts, both in our city and throughout the world.
Yeah. So there's also this idea about profitability. So in the introduction, I mentioned the pocketbook, and that can be the individual, but it's also brands. And despite more acceptance for people of all sizes, you see it in advertising and the like, the fashion industry itself, it's slower to progress. Why do you think that is, Mara? And why is it that, you know, Ethical Bodies and the Goodish is right now kind of a unicorn in fashion retail?
To be honest, I don't really understand why folks aren't including everyone, because it is profitable. Fat people also want to wear fashionable things and trendy things. It just shouldn't be an issue, in my opinion. And if a lot of brands carry it and put it, you know, in store and all these things, but then they don't market it. So if I'm a consumer and I'm looking on their social media and I see no bodies that look like mine, how do I know you even have clothes that fit me? I think that's something that I've noticed a lot, that you have it, you maybe do one campaign and then it's gone.
Yeah.
So we're hoping, you know, we're here to stay. We do not only vintage, but secondhand, and do some consignment as well, so that it's really helping the life cycle of the clothing to stay within the St. Louis community, mm-hmm. and the plus size community.
Why do you think that misconception exists, Erica? Like that there is no market for it out there?
So one of our clients that had come in was sharing with me a blog that they listened to. And this particular phrase has stuck with me. And it's, what is valued is not kept. And we were really talking about how difficult it can be to find, especially vintage. And the older you get, the harder it is to find vintage garments in plus sizes, mm-hmm. even though fat people have existed throughout the spectrum of all time. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a huge part of it, is just that culturally we do not value people in bigger bodies. We are a fairly fat phobic society. And as a result, the way that people respond is that they say that there is no value for them financially in going down these lanes, even though there clearly is. You just mm-hmm. have to want to do it.
Right. So it's a lack of willingness.
I definitely think it's that.
It feels that way.
Yeah. And there have been brands over the years that have carried things in store in plus size selections. And a lot of those have taken them right back out within a year or two. So.
Okay. And then they get relegated sort of to the corners of the store, right?
Very much.
So obviously Ethical Bodies and Goodish is different. And literally there's a store. But what else is in store for the business and for the community, Mara?
It is really about building community. That is where our values really aligned. Mm-hmm. We want this to be a space that everyone feels comfortable in. We want it to be a space to have events and, you know, for people to make new friends and do arts and crafts. And it's not only about the clothes, it's about the sense of community that really every time someone walks in the door, I feel like we're friends when they leave.
Mm-hmm. And Big Body Bash mm-hmm. is something we just mentioned, but
yeah.
there's something else that's happening next Saturday, right?
Okay. Yeah, we are actually hosting one of our first events since opening the store, one of our first big public events. It'll be a Bridgerton event, so we are encouraging everyone to come dressed up. We will have a diamond of the day that shall be named with a little bit of a prize. So I am hoping to see everyone's takes on stopping by Ethical Bodies and the Goodish. Going out on the ton, if you will.
We will have some fun Bridgerton-themed looks pulled as well.
Yeah. Great.
Erica Hallman, Mara Hampton, Trisha Stocklin, and Kay Scott are co-owners of Ethical Bodies and The Goodish. Erica, Mara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. This was great.
This episode was produced by Roche Hemmings.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.